But who thinks they can pick the three logos or symbols that we've got in this picture? Okay, but this is my table, so I'm going to go down here. Yeah, Rose, yeah. Yeah, yeah, Android, Apple. And what do you think the message of this picture is? Isn't it? It's beautiful. So, yeah, I like that one. So, okay. Okay, I've got a few more logos to show you. See if you can get these. The next, I think, one of them's easier and one might be a bit trickier, but we'll see how you go.
Where's your Windows tablet?
Okay, I've had to kind of cross out the words. But who thinks they know what these two are? Gloria Jeans, yep, okay. And what about this one? It is not Jamaica Blue. This will be maybe hard if you're just starting at uni, but you'll... What was that, Annabelle? Uni Bakehouse, yes, that is it, yeah. Yeah, Gloria Jeans at Uni Bakehouse. You'll find both on campus at Callaghan. And you can treat yourself to a delicious pie or lamington or something from Uni Bakehouse. Okay, here's my next one. Here are two. These are two animal logos, right? And you need to identify them. Okay. The one on the left is... The one on the left is the university. What is the one on the left? What's it a picture of? A hippocampus. Right, a seahorse, right? So, University of Newcastle. And the one on the right should be the University of Newcastle, but actually it belongs to another fine institution, which is established. Hexham Bowling Club. That's right. That's Aussie the Aussie. And, you know. Why we've got a hippocampus rather than a mosquito, I don't know. But maybe if we had a mosquito, then the uni would attract fewer international students. So it's probably a marketing scheme. Okay, right. So the last symbol I want to show you is kind of the one I want to talk about tonight. And that is the cross. The cross is, of course, one of the most recognisable symbols in the world. The symbol of Christianity. And for some people, for lots of people, in fact, it's just an attractive symbol. It's you know, you find it on tattoos, you find it on necklaces, an ornament, which may have no religious significance for the person wearing it at all. But it's still identifiably Christian. The source of the symbol remains Christian and everyone recognises it. The cross. The earliest picture of the cross, at least of Jesus' cross, is also the earliest picture we have of Jesus himself. And it's one some of you may have seen before. It's a piece of graffiti in Rome. There it is. It's kind of hard. That picture's hard to see in the engraving there, but you can see the sketch of it. It's a piece of graffiti in Rome that dates from probably the beginning of the 3rd century AD, although it could be earlier, it could be 2nd century, it could even be the end of the 1st century AD. So this is an early depiction of Jesus. And you'll see there's two figures. There's a man who has one hand raised in worship, looking up at a figure on a cross. Now, Jesus on a cross, and the text reads... a translation in English reads, Alexamenos worships God. Alexamenos worships God. And the most kind of noteworthy feature of this piece of graffiti is, of course, that Jesus on the cross has the head of a donkey. The head of a donkey. You see, this is a piece of graffiti that is certainly not honouring Jesus and Christianity. It is mocking Jesus. It's scoffing at the idea that anyone would worship a man who was crucified. What folly that is. to call Lord, to call God, someone who was put to death on a cross. Now, when you read the Bible about what happened to Jesus when he was crucified, that reinforces the impression that we get from that piece of graffiti. See, crucifixion involved not just the obvious physical agony, but also an absolute experience of exposure and disgrace. Now, the spectacle of crucifixion, being hung on a cross, stripped of your clothes, naked, for hours or days, people passing by, watching, looking at you, you're suffering, you're gasping for breath. That spectacle was designed to humiliate its victims. People would look on with horror and loathing and malice. It was a form of execution reserved only for the most wicked offenders and for slaves. Anyone who worshipped a crucified Lord was a fool. And the question I want to ask you tonight is, are you willing to be a fool for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to be a fool for Jesus Christ? The first disciples were aware of how foolish it seemed to be Christian. Foolish because it involved believing a foolish message. Believing a foolish message. So there's the passage that we had read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, written by the Apostle Paul. Verse 18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Foolishness. Verse 21, halfway through that verse, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. This was a foolish message. A message that just seemed crazy. It seemed nuts. Now, the Roman Empire was a world full of gods and temples and priests and rabbis and philosophers. And this was supposed to be God's message to us? This was what connects mortals with the divine? This is how we're saved? A man being executed as a criminal in some far-flung eastern corner of the empire? No, that's not worthy of the divine. That's not how God would do it. How can we know God? Well, surely we get to know God through mighty works, through spectacular displays of the supernatural, through undeniable evidences of a power beyond this world. Verse 22, Jews demand signs. Surely we get to know God through clever argumentation, through reason, through philosophy. God must commend himself to our minds. Verse 22 again, Greeks look for wisdom. Surely not through a cross. Isn't that madness? Now, people today have slightly different objections. When we think about the cross today, such a common symbol, it's ubiquitous, it's everywhere. When we think about the cross today, we don't have the same visceral reaction and the visceral revulsion that people would have to it in the first century AD, in the ancient world. See, people today, we've never seen a crucifixion. Haven't even seen anyone executed by guillotine or gallows or electric chair. And that symbol of the cross, it's so common, it's so mainstream. And it's come to have such a kind of a romantic appeal. It's, you know, you see a cross, it's soothing, it's calming, it's tranquil. Jesus died on the cross, that phrase, Jesus died on the cross. That's one of the background stories of our society. Familiar, comfortable, inoffensive. See, the cross has been domesticated. The cross has been sanitized, purged of the blood, purged of the brutality, purged of the violence and the shame. But even so, this kind of insipid, watered-down cross, you know, the cross you place on a charm bracelet in between a teddy bear and a unicorn, even that kind of cross seems foolish. I mean, maybe it's not offensive, but it's quaint. It's quaint. People who believe in the cross, people who talk about the cross, people who love the cross, that's like the person you meet at a party who keeps talking about their stamp collection. Now, apologies to any stamp collectors here, right? My grandfather was a great stamp collector, but anyone who still collects stamps today, what seems like a throwback to a bygone age. And okay, if you want to collect stamps, you can do that as a private hobby, knock yourself out. But in civilized company, please refrain from talking passionately about your stamp collection and talk instead about more sophisticated things like Married at First Sight and YouTube clips of kittens. A man dying 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem because he annoyed the authorities, who supposedly rose from the dead. You know, that might have seemed enough to people long ago, gullible, superstitious yokels. But I need hard facts. I need evidence. I need the proven findings of science, verifiable and repeatable experiments. None of that history. None of the past. None of those old books with their antiquated patriarchal ethics and fables about miracles. So if you believe in the cross, if you believe in the cross, if you believe this is how God has shown himself to us, if you believe, in fact, that the cross is not weakness, but as verse 18 says, the power of God, God's power for salvation. If you believe the cross is not foolishness, but as verse 24 says, the wisdom of God. If this is what you believe wholeheartedly and cling to and live by and pin your hopes on, and yes, even talk about, in our world you will be a fool. So that's my question for you tonight. Are you willing to be a fool for Jesus Christ? Now, it might seem like a bit of a strange occasion to ask that question. It's the beginning of a university year for many of you. Some of you, you're starting uni, you're setting out on this path for the first time, and you've come to uni to learn and to gain knowledge. You value wisdom, you value reason, you value thought. That's why you're at university. And yet here I am speaking to a room of intelligent and energetic young people, and I'm saying to you, come and be a fool. Come and be a fool for Jesus Christ. It seems like a bit of a harder sell than a free choc chip cookie. But, mate, you know, that's our strategy. I don't know if you got one at the stall in O-Week. We lure you in with the free choc chip, the free cookie, and then once you're off guard, distracted, bam, come and be a fool for Jesus Christ. But that's exactly what I want you to think about, especially those of you who are starting university this year. Now, so I'm not misunderstood, let me clarify what I mean by fool. See, there's different kinds of folly. One kind of folly is stupidity. You know, just being stupid, even willful stupidity, rejecting evidence, refusing logic, refusing plain reason. I'm not saying you must do that. I'm not saying come and be stupid. I'm not saying you need to be ignorant or muddle-headed. One kind of folly is moral folly. We might say irresponsibility. You know, like the man who sells everything and invests it in coal-fired power stations. You know, wouldn't that be madness right now? But I'm not saying you need to be stupid or that you need to be irresponsible. I'm not saying you need to be gullible or that you need to be immoral. I'm not talking about those kinds of folly, although you may be accused of those things. What kind of fool do you need to be for Jesus Christ, for God? You need to be willing to be branded a fool. Other people will think you are a fool because you do not share their values. And this is a big ask today. It's a big ask in our society, which can be absolutely brutal towards those it labels as fools, especially once the social media passenger train gets rolling and people are jumping on board. In today's world, who would want to stick their neck out? In today's world, who would dare to be different? In today's world, who would risk being branded a fool? Nevertheless, as you embark on a new uni year, perhaps for the first time, I'm asking you, are you willing to be a fool for Jesus Christ? To believe the foolish message of the cross? Because it is God's power for salvation. Because it is the only way that your sins and your offences before God can be forgiven. Because it is God's word for us today, just as much as it was 2,000 years ago. And because in God's wisdom, we don't get to know God through human intelligence and wisdom and ingenuity. Human resources could never bring us to God. No, we know God because he has come down to us in the person of his Son, incarnate as the man Jesus Christ, and he lived among us, and he died a brutal and shameful death on the cross, and he conquered sin, and he rose from the dead victorious. That is how we know God. So will you be a fool for Jesus Christ? Will you believe the foolish message of the cross? When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Will you believe the message of the cross and be a fool for Jesus Christ, even in the hallowed halls and lecture theatres and examination rooms of the university campus? Now, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, let me invite you. I want to invite you to come along to the Bible talks we're going to be giving Tuesdays and Wednesdays at Callaghan campus. If you're based there, if you're on another campus, then find out how you can be involved there. But if you're at Callaghan, come along to the Bible talks. The first series of talks we're doing is on no ordinary death. We are considering Jesus' death on the cross, and we'll be looking at the narrative from Matthew's gospel. We'll deconstruct that ubiquitous, bland, fashion adornment cross of the 21st century. And what we want to do is reclaim the raw, savage, terrible cross of AD 30. The cross on which Jesus died. And explore how this particular death, this brutal execution, while weakness and folly to the world, is actually the power of God and the wisdom of God. Will you join us in that? Will you consider the cross? Or if you're already a believer, will you resolve, while you're at uni, to be a fool for Jesus Christ and hold to the foolish message? Let me pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we commence a new academic year, we commit it to you and into your hands. We pray for everyone here who will be studying. Lord, please grant understanding and perseverance, the ability to grasp what is taught. We pray that this year would be a year of growth and learning. Father, please provide us with new friendships. Give us the relationships and that encouragement and support we need in this stage of our lives. Father, as we meet others and engage with others this year, give us generosity of heart and of action. Give us wisdom in the decisions we will make. Give us humility in success and hope in failure. But most of all, Lord, we pray that you would enable us to be fools for Jesus Christ, to believe the message of the cross, to cling to it and hold it out to the world. Thank you, Father, that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. This is your power, this is your wisdom for our salvation. And we believe you, and we entrust our lives to you in Jesus' name. Amen.